think we went through what all parents will go through when they are told that your child is not going to be normal in some way. You feel sort of stunned, sort of numb. Then you really go through the process of having to learn how to adjust. What's this going to mean for our family life? How are we going to handle this? And many people really plunge into the depth of saying, God, why? And I encourage people to work toward the goal of being able to ask the question, how can God be glorified through this?
That was family counselor Norm Wright, who was here at Focus on the Family some time back to discuss his feelings of loss and disappointment at learning that his son Matthew was severely developmentally disabled. It's been said that these kind of trials will either make you or break you. If you can hang on to your faith in these difficult circumstances, you'll experience God's strength and grace in a miraculous way, just like another family did that we'll hear from on today's edition of Focus on the Family. Our host for the next half hour is psychologist and author Dr. James Dobson, and I'm Mike Trout.
Well, Mike, I feel very blessed today to have two parents here, Derek and Nancy Lewis and their son Michael, who's also here with us in the studio. Derek and Nancy are both graduates from USC, and Derek is now the founder and president of a financial planning firm that bears his name in Newport Beach, California. Nancy's a former school teacher, I believe. Nancy,
yes,
is that right?
That's
what
true.
Grade level did you teach?
I taught second grade and fourth grade and seventh and eighth, and I absolutely loved all of them.
And Mike, if you can believe it, I met this family in Mammoth, California, where I'd gone during the wintertime a few years ago for a ski trip with my family. We were sitting in a restaurant, and I looked over to the side of the building, and I saw, I guess, a whole group of you. How many were there? It's 7 or 8 people, as I recall.
Well, we know we probably had about 15, so we were around praying around two separate tables.
I saw them say grace before they ate, and when we were through eating, I just came over and introduced myself to these folks, and that was the beginning of our friendship. And the witness that you were expressing just through that prayer touched me on that day. And since then, I have observed the depth of your love for the Lord, and I just appreciate you all being here with us today.
We're excited to be here with you, Jim.
Now, Michael has severe cerebral palsy. We're going to talk about that today. We are dedicating this program to parents everywhere, not only to parents with handicapped children, but to parents who are going through whatever their particular stress points are, because everybody struggles today. And I'm sure our listeners have been hearing Michael express his thoughts and feelings in the background. He is very much with us, isn't he?
He understands everything you say. He happens to be imprisoned by his body, and he can say yes with his yeah and his no with no. But mostly he shows his excitement by his
animation, and his eye movement.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And his breathing, you know, he gets real excited like that or what have you.
And he has a very deep and very real relationship with the Lord, doesn't he?
Very much so.
There, yeah, you heard
there,
it then.
There it was, yeah.
He loves Jesus. He loves to worship the Lord. Worship is one of his favorite things to be doing. Loves it when we put Christian music on in the home, and he'll sit there and worship the Lord. He has a hard time with his body, moving his arms and his legs, but if the song says, "Lift my hands to the Lord," Mike, with everything within him, tries to lift his arms to the Lord.
Now, how early did he come to know the Lord?
Mike came to know the Lord, we feel, at a very early stage. He is probably the first Christian in our family. Nancy and I were very much part of the Newport Beach scene, working hard to be multimillionaires before we were 30 and involved in the partying social scene. But we had a little old lady prayer warrior who loved our Michael and would babysit Michael. And she would pray over Michael and tell him about the Lord and sing to him and join him in praying for the parents that they would come to know Jesus Christ.
And he was praying for you. And you have said, Derek, that you are the prodigal father, actually brought to the Lord by your son.
I sure am. I was trying to do it on my own. I was really struggling. I had my own, both Nancy and I had our expectations as to what life was going to be all about. We had our plans, our agenda that we were going to live out. And suddenly having a handicapped child born to us totally upset that agenda, totally upset those expectations. It was a very difficult crisis time in our lives.
Nancy, let's go back to the time of Michael's birth. He was your firstborn.
Yes.
How did you find out he was handicapped, and how did that information affect you?
Michael almost did not live through the first night of his life, and the nurse came in, or the doctor came in, and told us that Michael would not live. And I prayed. I said, God, if he can't be whole, then take him, because I can't do it. And about 10 years after this, I was sharing that story with one of my friends, and she said, I guess the Lord decided that he could be whole.
And that you could do it.
And that I could do it with him. But I didn't call him Lord then, Dr. Dobson. I called him God. I didn't know him as Lord. I didn't know Jesus Christ.
Did you know that Michael had cerebral palsy right from the beginning?
No, we just knew that he wasn't going to live through the night. In fact, the hard thing was they had for a year. We didn't know what was wrong with him. We knew that he didn't have a strong sucking reflex. We knew that he couldn't hold his head up, that he wasn't rolling over when all of my friends' babies were rolling over. And so it was a source of great heartache. Derek and I fought a lot.
Now, many was the night that I would wake up in the middle of the night and hear Michael and Nancy both just wailing.
I was sobbing.
And I would go out in the front room, and she'd be trying to feed Michael. And Michael was, with a poor sucking reflex, wasn't getting enough to eat. So he's starving, and he's yelling. And Nancy was so frustrated that she's crying. So I would take Michael and put Nancy to bed and then feed Michael. But that was a token thing at a time of great despair. Much of that time, I was retreating from facing up to this problem. When we found out that Michael was not going to live through the night that first night, I went home and I shared with some family members that our first son was not going to make it, but somehow, as the man of the family, that I would carry this thing on my shoulders. And then when he did make it and did come home, for the next 2 years, I was going to get him well on my own. I was carrying this burden on my shoulders to do something to get him well. We used to fly back to Philadelphia every other month to a clinic with me trying to get him well.
You were looking for a magic answer.
Oh,
yes.
Looking for a magic answer.
And we exercised him. Neighbors in our neighborhood came in every single day. I had two women from 9 to noon, and then two from 3 to 5, and we exercised Michael every single day.
Was that the Doman Delicato
yes.
idea?
Yes, it was.
Yeah.
And, you know, God allowed that even, Dr. Dobson, because that allowed us to realize that we couldn't do it, that we couldn't win by ourselves.
And that was the case with me. For 2.5 years, it was trying to be Derek the Rock, and Derek the Rock went through the rock crusher. And I decided I needed a stronger rock than myself.
How did you find the rock?
Oh, I was very against going to church. Nancy used to tell me that someday we have to go as a family to church. And I told her that she and the kids could go, and I'll tell them how the ball game's coming out when they get home. But one day, when I was really hurting and knowing I needed something stronger, I was reading the paper about the Jesus people coming into these dope areas and starting Bible studies, and the police had raided, and there's no dope, and there's just a bunch of people who were involved in a Bible study. So I was impressed with the good work that these young people were doing, and I announced that we were going to try church where these people were going to just kind of observe this good work they're doing in the community. And Nancy about fainted with the prospect of me suggesting that we go to church. But when I went to church, I saw a love that I hadn't seen before, and started going regularly to Bible studies. And one day in one of those Bible studies, sitting way in the back of the church, I thought, what am I waiting for? This is true. There are no contradictions here. It is God's truth to my life. I need to receive him right now. And at that point in time, I just knelt down and received Christ to be my Lord and Savior.
My goodness, Nancy, how'd you get that word?
We were on an airplane, and I was talking about, you know, we didn't make it. And I was kind of worrying about Derek, and he said, Nancy, don't worry. He says, I'm fine with the Lord.
Is that right?
Uh-huh.
And he's been with you all ever since, hasn't
and,
he?
And I, our lows, my lows have never been as low as they used to be, and my highs are a little bit higher.
Mm-hmm. Nancy, I saw in something that you had written or said that every mother longs to look out of the window and see her child playing in the yard.
Mm-hmm.
With Michael, you never experienced
that. That's right.
Have you given that to the Lord?
Absolutely. The greatest wisdom that God gave me through one of his servants is when I went to a man and I said, I was talking about Michael and my hurt because it was painful, even after receiving the Lord. He still wasn't outside playing. There wasn't a magic touch on Michael's life. He didn't instantly get healed like so many good, wonderful, fabulous stories that you hear about in the Christian world. And so as I was talking to this man at the end of it, I said, yes, I understand. I agree with you. I said, but you know, I still want to see Michael outside running and laughing and playing. Every mother desires to see that. And this pastor said to me, if you choose the standards of the world, then you also have to receive the hurts of the world. In other words, that's not God's standard. That's man's standard.
Yeah, yeah. And you gradually came to accept that, even though you still pray for Michael's
healing. We pray for Michael's healing every single day because the Lord asks us to do that. But you know what? If God never heals him, it's okay, because Michael is a tremendous little friend of mine, just as he is.
We did have one major breakthrough. We did give our hurts and the burden of Michael to the Lord when we received him, but there was still a lot of the asking of why, and were we being punished for our sin before receiving Christ? And at a low spot, one night we were going to go to church, and I told Nancy I really didn't want to go. And we went anyway, and I blocked out everything by turning the baseball game on.
It was a real fun evening.
got into church, and as we entered into...
Michael got the joke, didn't he?
When we entered into praise and receiving the Word of God, I came out high. And as we came back on, the radio was still blaring loudly, and it was no longer the baseball game, but it was a radio program talking about the birth of a child that was born handicapped, actually born with Down syndrome. And a guest pastor had said to this pastor who had the child, he said, you know, this is of the Lord, that this is going to be a blessing for you. It says in Exodus that who has made man's mouth? Who has made the deaf deaf and the dumb dumb and the blind blind? Is it not I, the Lord? This is the time when Moses is trying to reject the draft of God's call on his life. And so he said, this is of the Lord, that God is going to use this and make a blessing. And then it said in the book of John, when the disciples ask, is this man born blind because of his sin or his parents' sin? And he said, neither. It's that God might be made manifest in him.
Mm-hmm.
So suddenly we realize that Mike was given to us for a blessing. Now in this story, it goes on to say that 20 nurses who were in the hospital and witnessed, the witness of this pastor and his wife, came to his church and came forward and received Christ as a result of the birth of this child. Well, since that point in time, over 20 members of our family, of our immediate family, have come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior.
And virtually none of them were Christians.
None
at that
before him.
There were no Christians in either of our families.
One of Nancy's brothers used to kneel down before Michael's wheelchair and hold his hand, and he'd say, thank you, Michael. Thank you for introducing me to Jesus Christ as my Lord.
You told me a few minutes before we went on the air that Michael sometimes sits in church and makes these verbal noises that we've been hearing, and that is his way of actually praying an intercessory prayer for other people.
It is, or he will be giving amens or yeah-yeahs to the sermon. Now, from about age 4 to age 9, Mike and I went to a men's prayer meeting every Saturday night. And I would take him forward, and the pastor and the others, other elders, would pray over Mike and anoint him with oil. Then we would go back to our seats, and then Mike would continue to pray for other people that would come forward. He would particularly pray for the little old lady who had cancer, intercede very loudly and verbally, but not to our understanding. One day the pastor stepped forward, and he said, "You're hearing these noises up in the front," and he says, "I want to explain what that is. There's a young man named Michael Lewis up here who has a gift of intercession, and he's interceding and agreeing with us in prayer as we pray for those people." And then he went back to pray for the next person. So I was worried about if Mike was disturbing the prayer service, but the pastor realized that this is Mike's intercessory gift that was being expressed.
You know, I feel such a responsibility here about two-thirds of the way through the program for you all to speak to younger parents who are just going into a responsibility of this nature. Give them some encouragement. They think they can't do it. There was a time, Nancy, where you
I thought I'd never do this. I would like to encourage women to not abort a child that might have a handicap. I would encourage dads not to encourage their wife to do that, because God always has a blessing for you if you're willing to do it His way. It doesn't mean it's always going to be the most fun, but I know the difference between fun and a blessing, and I'll take a blessing over fun any day of the week.
Let's talk about what that really means. Now, Derek, you get up every morning, and you do what for Michael?
First thing I do is go downstairs and get Mike out of his bed, put him in the bathtub. I have to strip his bed. I bathe him. I get him dressed. Get him prepared to go to school, and get him shaved, comb his hair, brush his teeth, feed him his breakfast, and then put him on the bus for school. And I have to say that there's not one time, not one morning that I get up that I think about that this just isn't fair. It's a joy for me to do that. But we've had to turn that corner to where we're saying,
Lord. It wasn't
Lord,
that way in the beginning.
No. The Scripture says that we all, like sheep, have gone astray, each to his own way. But the Lord laid upon him the iniquity of us all. I wanted to go my own way. When I said, yes, Lord, I'll go your way,
Amen.
Because I realized you died for me because Derek wanted to go his own way.
That blesses me so much.
When I became willing to do it his way, I became blessed, and I am blessed. I don't think twice about being a servant to my son. That wasn't my plan, but it was God's plan, and people are being touched by Christ as a result of me saying, yes, Lord, I will be a servant to my son.
That has 10,000 applications. Mm-hmm. It's going through these microphones and going out there in those radios around the world and sticking with people, maybe who don't have this particular problem to face, but they've got something.
Mm.
You know, they have a physical disease, or they're going through financial hardship or rejection from a spouse. This very morning in our devotions here at Focus on the Family, now we prayed for those women out there, particularly who have come to our attention just in the last week, who have been left by their husbands with little children to take care
yes.
of.
Mm.
And for some of them, it came as a total shock. The man just walked out. There are men out there whose wives have left them. Everybody's going through something.
Yeah,
I don't know anybody who doesn't struggle with something. And the attitude that you all are expressing, the approach, I know is the one that the Bible commends to us. I know it's right.
Mm-hmm.
And
to
hear it modeled and to see it modeled in your life is a blessing.
We must allow Him to renew us, to put
He's
on the
only
mind
one
of
that
Christ.
Can. I can't expect Derek to renew me, and I can't renew Derek. I have to allow the Holy Spirit to renew me through Jesus Christ.
Let's come back to something you all mentioned earlier in passing. Yeah, you mentioned the Newport Beach scene. People around the United States and
people?
Canada may not know what that is, but that is a very affluent area where you named it, the beautiful people. There's a certain image, there's a certain way you're supposed to look and sound and dress and drive and live and talk.
Mm-hmm.
How has this situation that you all have faced changed the way you see all of that? And how has it been received in your social environment?
Well, our social environment changed pretty dramatically because we had to so fervently grab hold of the Lord that many of our friends did reject us.
We know what it is to be rejected.
When I ask you that question, Nancy, you looked to Derek to answer and you winked at him. There was something behind that wink. I want to know the story.
It was called, "Take it, spiritual leader." we do know what it is to be rejected, not only by people who don't know the Lord, but by Christians as well. Because when you have a child as handicapped as Michael, people do not know how to react. Even the body of Christ does not know how to react. And our whole lives took a different turn than we had expected.
We were told early on that we needed to get Mike out of our family. We needed to institutionalize him or he would ruin the family. He would ruin our other children. There's some rightness in this, in that there's a lot of rejection because people don't know how to deal with a handicap. So we're excluded from a lot of functions, even within the church, because people don't know how to deal with Michael. And we've learned to understand that, and it doesn't hurt. But with our children, our daughter, Derry, ministered in a camp in the Sierras this last year as a counselor. She had a young gal that was a real problem child who didn't want to come to camp. Derry was her counselor, loved her all week, a difficult week of loving her. But by the end of the week, she was starting to enter in a little bit. This mom wrote back to the camp, "As a result of this ministering young lady, my daughter, when she got off the bus, hugged me for the first time in a couple of years." So Derry is being used as a minister of the Lord. Our son took a group of junior hires to Mexico this last Saturday, led worship in a little Mexican chapel, learned Spanish, learned to sing the songs in Spanish so he could worship with them in Spanish. Our kids have a real sensitivity to the people around them because of Mike having been a minister to them in our home.
You know, more than the affluence and more than some of the other things that we talked about is this youth and beauty cult where mm-hmm. you have to be intelligent and gorgeous and tan in order to be worthy as mm-hmm. a human being.
To have value.
Yeah, to mm-hmm. have any worth at all. I try to write about that in my book, Hide or Seek. And that is so antithetical to everything we learn in Scripture.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really what you all have learned mm-hmm. and
yes.
you're demonstrating. What
yes.
your kids obviously know.
Mm.
Derek, along that line, you also said to me before we came in the studio that you, before you were married and going back to your high school days, had a pretty good dose of that youth and beauty, that physical power. You were an athlete.
Yes.
That idea that value was attached to those things.
Oh, I was a football player in high school, and my friends were the other football players or the cheerleaders who were cheering for us. And anybody out of that circle really didn't have very much value to me, to the point that over the years, as I've run into to people from my high school, I haven't known who they were when they came up to me. And after Michael showed us what value God places upon all lives, how he wants to use the least of his people, I have the feeling today that I'd like to go back to my high school and just take every one of my classmates by the hand that I didn't feel was valuable enough as a person and exude to them how valuable they are to God, how important they are to God, and how God wants to use their life, how he wants to love them, to be able to share with
yes.
them. I hope I get that opportunity to love many of my old classmates from Covina High School.
did Michael just understand
yes,
that? Is that what we were hearing?
He did. And you know, it's funny, you are not picking this up, Dr. Dobson, but Michael, while his dad was talking, he lifted his hand and he rubbed the bottom of his chin. And that means, I love you in a very special way.
Yes,
and we
right.
have a sign for each one of our children so that no matter where they are, if we do that sign, that reminds them that they're loved in a very special way. And so while Derek was talking, Michael looked over and did that.
Michael, look at me now because I'm rubbing the bottom of my chin, too, because I love you in a very special way. Oh, bless his heart. My heart goes out to you all. I just embrace you in Christian love, and I know there are people in so many places that are experiencing that same thing. We're out of time. And I don't think I ever hated to see a program end like I feel about this one. But just sit tight, if you will, and we're going to go on talking to you, and we'll let Mike close the program today and then play this recording of what we're about to say tomorrow. Thank you all for being our guests.
It's been our pleasure.
It's been a delight.
Absolutely. No, you don't want to leave.
Mike does not want to leave.
He doesn't want to go. You don't have to, Mike. You stay right where you are.
Nancy and Derek Lewis have been our guests on today's edition of Focus on the Family, along with their son, Michael. And as we return, I hope you will be back as well to enjoy the continuation of this conversation. Our program is provided by Focus on the Family. Our host has been psychologist and author Dr. James Dobson. Our producer was Lisa Cadman. Engineering and production were handled by Jim Adam and John Dorick. Our executive producer is Bobby Valentine. And I'm Mike Trout, inviting you back when we'll again turn our hearts toward home.